Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Fascinating 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live today. You can count on it. Fascinating 2 hours. Hi, I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for joining us. Are you one of those people who wants to be happy? Occasionally, you'll meet people who want to be happy. Perhaps you're one of those. What if I told you that God made you for a purpose, and finding that purpose, that is doing what you were made to do, being who you were made to be, is the key to your happiness? That's our topic this hour, finding happiness in your vocation. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And our guest is Paul George, or as I like to call him, the other Paul George. We'll get to that in a minute. Paul has traveled the world proclaiming God's love and freedom of his gospel in parishes around the world. He's been a minister, a youth minister, a diocesan director, author, full-time evangelist. He holds a master's degree in theological studies from the University of Dallas, and he co-founded and directs Adore Ministries, a nonprofit Catholic organization whose mission is to call all people to worship God with their entire lives. Their entire lives! Hi, Paul George. Thanks for being with us.
Their whole thing, man. Their whole life.
The whole thing.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Cy, for having me today.
And you know why I call you the other Paul George, why I just
called you absolutely.
That.
Because there is an NBA basketball player named Paul George.
Right. A super
for those
NBA
fans.
Basketball player. Right.
Yeah, he's really good, and I've actually gotten mistaken. People will send messages to me on Twitter, on my Twitter handle, thinking that I'm Paul George, the NBA basketball player. But if you look at my profile pic, we look nothing alike.
Yeah, no, that's true. Right. But what's your vertical leap? Are you even in his? He could probably jump over you, I'm guessing.
Well, the age gap between he and I is pretty.
Oh, we're going with the age gap. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Other than
that,
you would be an NBA player. Is that what you're saying?
Not quite. I was more like a Steve Nash. How about that?
Okay. So what's the first of all, how did you get interested in this topic, or how did this become your topic, helping people to find their vocation, to find their calling so that they can be happy people in this life and in the next? And what's the key to it all?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think it's something that I tried to go into as a career or anything. I think it's my journey. I think it's your journey. I think it's everyone's journey, is really seeking this fulfillment, this emptiness, this void, this question that we have inside of us. And for you and I, we know that certainly landing on the destination of happiness ends at finding who Christ is and who Christ calls us to be. But get into that place. I find oftentimes in my conversations with people, they ask the question, how can I become happy? Or they say, I'm not happy. And they can have all the success in the world, and yet they're still asking this question, how do I find happiness?
And then what do you tell them?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's complicated, right? I talk a lot about this thing called destination happiness. And what I find a lot of people do is they have this idea, when I land at a certain destination, then I'll be happy. When I get the perfect job, or I find the perfect spouse, or I make this amount of money, or I become successful in whatever term that is, you know, for them, then I will be happy. And I remember having a conversation with a famous person. It was an NFL football player sitting in his house, and he says, I'm about to sign the largest contract I'll ever sign in my life, and it'll set me and my family up for the rest of our lives. And he looked at me and says, but I'm not happy. I was like, how is that possible? Right? You know, this sort of tension between all this success, and yet internally in our lives, we still desire much more than what the world can give us. So once you peel back the layers in people's lives, it's certainly not a black and white answer. All our lives are complicated. We meet different obstacles in our lives. And certainly when someone really finds a relationship with God, they find peace. They really do.
I've sometimes thought that that's the essential difference between a Buddhist theology of the world and a Catholic or Christian theology, is the Buddhist message is, for happiness, desire less. And the Catholic Christian message is, desire more. lift your desire up to the highest that you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we're created to desire. I mean, all of us desire things every day. We desire to be hungry. We have cravings, and we will fill. You know, people say we have a God-shaped hole. I kind of find that that's downsizes who God is. I think we have a void. I think we have a deep void, and the void's so great and big that only God can fill it because He's so great and big. And my desire is so great and big that it's only met in meeting this great God who created me. And so, yeah, I'm like you. It's not this idea that, you know, if I contemplate more, I'll be happy. It's really finding this peace in our life that only God can give, this relationship. And we have this tension between grace and nature, right? I think a lot of times we're like, well, if I just go to Mass more, or if I go to Sacrament of Reconciliation more, then I'll be happy. And certainly that's true. There's grace in the sacraments, and we need those things. But the nature part gets in the way all the time, our brokenness, our emptiness, our faults, our failings. And I find a lot of times people don't spend a lot of time working on themselves.
And you, I hear you use regularly the term the art of living. What does that mean to you?
Well, I didn't coin the term.
No, I'm aware of that.
I just want you to know that
all right, so you're not an NBA basketball player, and you didn't invent the phrase "the art of living." Okay, we've cleared these things up.
But I can tell you who I got it from. Carl Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, right? So when Pope Benedict was cardinal, he was given a homily, and he came up with this saying. In his homily, he says, "The new evangelization." And I was all entrenched. I was like, oh, he's going to give me all the practical tools for the new evangelization, which is really evangelization. And he said, the new evangelization is teaching people the art of living. Simply put, walking with people, accompanying people, mentoring people, teaching them what it means to live life. And I remember thinking, are we at the point in our world where people don't know how to live? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
I want to throw all this theology. It's great. All this catechesis, that's great.
Right.
But at the end of the day, some people just don't even know how to live life.
It seems like more and more don't know how to live life. I mean, I don't know what you would blame for that, but it does seem we've lost the art of living. Maybe because we have a kind of impoverished view of what we are. We think that we're a bunch of needs, and when our needs are met, we'll be happy. But we're not needs. To go back to that phrase, we are desire. We can't just be happy getting our needs met. We need to get our desires met.
Yeah, not only that, we're created to thrive. We're really created to live life to the full. And Scripture tells us that. Jesus says it, I've come to give you life and life to abundant. So we're not created just to like search and search and never find. God's not hiding from us. God shows himself. God comes to us. God looks for us in the garden, in our sin, in our brokenness. And so in that relationship with him, we learn what it means to thrive. But if we don't learn the art of living, what it means to live, then we'll certainly just kind of stumble around. You know, so I'm sure you could speak in your own life, and I can't in mind. There have been people who in my life who have shown me how to live. I've looked at, I've kind of said, well, how do they live? Like, how do they have a good marriage?
Yeah.
You know, how are they healthy? You know, all these things. And then you model that.
Yeah. It makes me think, I know this is a little tangential, but I've often worried about online learning. I know it's very valuable in many ways, but it misses the mentoring part. Like when you were I don't know if it happened to you at the University of Dallas or wherever, but there's a way in which good professors mentor you but just by watching them and imitating, you learn more fully how to be a human being.
Yeah, I say that about Catholic schools all the time, and certainly all schools for teachers, is I think the best teachers are those teachers who not only pass on information, but accompany the kids along the way. Yeah. They pour into them as a human. They're not just opening up their skulls and implementing knowledge, but they're saying, you know, I'm going to teach you how to live this out in your life. Implement it in the everyday. That's what we're called to do, and certainly this is what Jesus did with the disciples, right?
It is indeed. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer it that way. 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking vocation today and finding your happiness in your vocation. everybody has a vocation, and finding a vocation is not finding a burden that God wants to lay on you. Finding your vocation is finding the key to your life. Do you have questions about that? About how to find your vocation? About how to pursue your vocation? How to know when it is that you found it? Paul George is our guest. The other Paul George, not the NBA Paul George, but the evangelist, teacher, theologian, Paul George. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll get to your calls on vocation right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus told his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. Therefore, the kind of person you are will inevitably affect what you do, what you say, and what you take in." In school, Sister used to warn us that we would be affected by the kind of company we kept. Of course, this didn't resonate with us at the time. Today, I am very much aware of how we influence each other and how subtle the influence can be. In the past few years, I have become aware of how I had been duped for many years by the secular media and how I can't trust most of them now. All the more reason to appreciate such outlets as the National Catholic Register, Catholic Answers, and EWTN. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our topic this hour, finding happiness in your vocation. I actually think Paul George is our guest this hour, and I wonder how many people know that Christianity is at its root about finding your happiness. Like, maybe the reputation we have is more about like moral scolding or that kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And I think it's also an interpretation of happiness. It's almost like we think of happiness, meaning like I always got to be whistling Dixie all the time. I'm from the South, so that's what we do.
Do you actually whistle Dixie down there? Is that?
No, but it's just a good saying.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
Yeah.
I got
you. It means I'm happy all the time. This idea that, you know, I literally have to smile 24 hours a day, that's not happiness. I think happiness and peace go hand in hand. This idea that I'm fulfilled, okay? So I've known people who are suffering who you could say are very happy. They're at peace. They're fulfilled in their life. And so they're not smiling, but they're happy.
Right. All right. Do you feel comfortable going to calls now?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go to Maria in San Antonio, Texas, listening on 89.7. Maria, you are on with Paul George. Your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask, does one go about to getting to know one's vocation, and then once you find what your vocation is, how do you pursue it?
Hey, Maria, thanks for calling. It's a great question. And I know it's a complicated question because I know there are a lot of people there's a lot of tension around finding your vocation if you're not, you know, in a sacramental vocation or a consecrated life or whatnot. But I would say this. We know this about God, that that we don't find God. God finds us. And what I love is this image in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sin. They go and hide in the garden, and they're hidden in the garden. And this is a crucial point in the story of God. It says that he went in search for them. And he says in chapter 3 of Genesis, he says, "Where are you?" And I love that image because it's this idea that the Father goes in search for his people, no matter how broken, no matter how far away they are. I think a lot of times we put pressure on ourselves to find our vocation, but our vocation is already written on our heart. And when we come into relationship with God, we get in touch with our deep desire of what it is that God has created us for. So through prayer, through spiritual direction, through real contemplation, we get in touch with that desire. And at the root of that desire, in relationship with God, we really get in touch with our unique vocation, the way that we can serve the world.
Maria?
Yes.
Does that work for you? Did you have a follow-up?
It does.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Maria. Thanks very much for that call. I think that this idea of like that you put work into it. I wonder how much we're communicating that to young people, that you it's an intentional thing. You do ask God, and then you have these other resources available to you to find your vocation.
Yeah, I do think, Si, a lot of people stress a lot about finding their vocation. Like all the pressure's on them. And we believe in a God who comes through for us, who's there for us, who wants to speak to us. We really do. And we have to understand that God's not hiding our vocation from us, nor is he hiding happiness and fulfillment from us. But we certainly have to move to a place in our life where we're moldable, where God can shape us and speak to us. So we may be called to a vocation that we're simply not open to, because what Jesus would say in Scripture, we have a hardness of heart. We just simply need some time for our heart to kind of peel away and crack and be open to receive what God has for us.
Yeah, I feel like I'm testament to that. I mean, through your life, I suppose you have to build up a relationship of trust where you go, okay, I'm going to do it your way. I've tried it my way for 20 years or something, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the hardest lessons we'll ever learn in life is trusting God over ourself, right? God, you take the reins.
Right.
You're in control.
Or trusting that he really wants us to be happy. I mean, maybe you could say something about that, because I do think does God want me to suffer? Does God want me to, I mean, what does God want from me? And he does. I mean, it may in fact include suffering. As a matter of fact, it has to include suffering. Everything. I mean, the chicken getting out of the egg includes suffering, but that's not the end. That's not the end of the story. We're not a people of Lent. We're a people of Easter.
Yeah, and we can't carry this around like we invite suffering on, you know, like we're doing something, you know, like we're holier because we sort of invite suffering and woe is me. Suffering comes through life. We all experience suffering. We don't have to go and find it. But the reality of the cross is that Jesus is with us in our suffering, and we can have peace and joy and happiness even in the midst of suffering. Mother Teresa was a great example of this. Her life of suffering, her life of serving the poor, she found joy in the midst of that. And we believe, like you said, we believe in the resurrection, that there's a time in our life we have to leave our suffering in the tomb and walk in freedom.
Amen, brother. We go now to Peter in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Peter, your question for Paul George, the other Paul George.
The other Paul George. Thank you for taking my call.
Peter, how often do you call from the helicopter? I mean, is this is every day, like you just fly the helicopter around and call, or it's hard to hear you, Peter. I'm just teasing.
Is this a little better?
Yeah, that is better. It's still
Peter.
Okay,
that's my private chopper coming to pick me up for the basketball game.
Oh.
Funny you should mention a helicopter, but that's a different story. Two things. I have my actual question, but a wise friend once told me that, you know, if you follow the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And her interpretation of that was that the deepest desires that you have are the ones that God has given you.
Okay. All right. So it's just really hard to hear because of the helicopter.
Yeah.
No offense, Peter, at all. It's just there's something funky in the line. So can you just address that? And we'll go back to Peter in a second and see if he's landed.
Yeah, and also that, I have his question here. How do you go about finding a mentor when they seem to be in short supply? You know, when I was getting married, I came from a divorced home, and so this idea of marriage was really scary to me. Could I be married? Did I know how to be married? Did I know how to be a good husband and father? I really had no clue. And so when, you know, I fell in love with this beautiful woman who I'm still married to today, I had all these questions about marriage, about life. So here's what I did. I got a journal and I found a bunch of men that I knew who had successful marriages, who were living the Christian life. And I called them up and said, hey, can we grab coffee? I have a question for you. And I just started this journal of asking these men, sort of become mentors of mine, of how do you do this? What makes you good at being a husband and father? I think a lot of times with this idea of mentoring, we have to seek out people who we can get questions answered from.
Can we bring Peter back up and we'll see? Peter, did you want to follow that up?
So is this better?
So much better. I'm sorry. Yeah. I wanted you to still be in the helicopter. I wanted to get the traffic report from you while you're up there, but go ahead, Peter.
No worries. Yes, in fact, I did just that when I was getting married, and I sought out people, and that's exactly what I did. I don't know. I guess maybe I have a misunderstanding of what mentorship is. I've asked people that I think wiser than myself all number of questions, but you know, I guess I think of mentorship as maybe something akin to patronage, but that's probably perhaps not right. You know, patronage not in the money sense, but in the sense of, you know, some older, wiser somebody who you have a long-term relationship with over any number of years, and which has not been my case. But is that an appropriate idea of mentorship, or is it more just?
Yeah, I think there are times and seasons, Peter. I think that's a great question. You know, maybe there's someone who walks with us through a season of our life, and then, you know, the relationship may not be there long term or forever. And so as we go through different seasons, maybe we seek out different people. You know, someone can be mentoring you as a spiritual director or a confessor, but maybe it's just a group of friends that you accompany each other now in life as you get older. And so as the scripture says, iron sharpens iron, you have people in your life who journey with you. You accompany each other, learning and growing together in Christ and helping each other along the way. And so a lot of times in my own mentorship and in people who help me out, a lot of times they're just close friends of mine who continue to challenge me to be better at life.
That makes sense. When I was still in the helicopter, sort of a brief aside, I had one of those wise friends tell me that if you follow Jesus, he will give you the desires of your heart. And her interpretation of that was that the desires that you have in your heart are placed there by Jesus. And I know that doesn't apply to every desire that you have, but, you know, I had deep-seated desires that I was never sure where they came from, you know, specifically, you know, like what do I do with my life? What job do I have? What career do I pursue? Yeah. And she sort of confirmed in me that if you have that sort of notion in your heart that you should do those sorts of things, it's not necessarily only from you, that could be placed there by Jesus if you, you know, ask him if that's really true or not.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Great question. There's a lot of times where we can get trapped in this word desire, because as you know, desire can mean anything, and we can desire good things and bad things to fill the void in our heart. And so I think it's tricky using that word desire, but it's not a bad word. I think this is where discernment comes in, that we have a desire in our heart. We certainly have to take that into prayer and discernment, spiritual direction, you know, mentorship, and really seeking clarity on what that desire is. And as we discern and get the clarity that, hey, this desire is actually from God and God is asking me to do this, then we move forward in our life. So, Peter, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thanks for landing the chopper for just a minute so we could talk with you. Our guest this hour, the other Paul George, and our topic, finding happiness in your vocation. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and by sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Chris Check, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and my talk, Behold Your Mother. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just want to let you know that we have our summer series going on right now. And if you're in the neighborhood, Carlo Broussard is speaking tonight, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. It's St. Michael's Catholic Church, 6:30 tonight, San Diego time. And if you don't live in the San Diego area, that's okay. We're going to be live streaming the talk. So for more information on getting the live stream or attending the talk, visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page. And we're going to be live streaming these summer talks all summer with various apologists giving talks in parishes around our home diocese, which we love, the Diocese of San Diego. So Facebook, the Catholic Answers Facebook page is the place to go to find out where to get that connection for the streaming. And that streaming starts at 6:30 p.m. here on the West Coast. That would be 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast. Our guest this hour, Paul George, the original Paul George. I was calling him the other Paul George. And I just want to let people know, you scolded me a little bit. You said you're the original Paul George because you're older.
Yeah, I'm the OG.
OPG. yeah, you're the original. So, and we are discussing finding happiness in your vocation. And something I wanted to kind of tease out with you a little bit is we all have a vocation, a general vocation that's shared by every Christian person. Actually, every person is called to this. And then we have our specific vocation of what in particular we're called to. So can you say something about, for those who don't know how Catholics understand vocation, what it means to have the general vocation to holiness and then to find our specific vocation within that?
Yeah, our general vocation, you know, as we're talking, is a vocation to holiness. Our call, every one of us, we're created by God, to know God, to serve God, and to be holy. Like that's literally what we should wake up and put our energy into this relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, growing in holiness in our life. So that's our general vocation. Then we talk about a specific vocation. It's the vocation, the capital V vocation, where we can glorify God the most in our life, marriage or the priesthood, a religious vocation. It's the place where God can be glorified and be seen in our life the most. And so that's where maybe is a little bit refined in our discernment of what is that vocation for us.
And the relationship with Christ that makes holiness possible, that's the starting point. It's in
that is a starting point, because you can't discern your vocation without knowing Christ. I mean, you have to connect the two. So I always tell people, just start by growing in holiness, and ultimately God will show you what you're supposed to do. And then we have this idea of vocation in a sense of, what is my job? What is my work? So we use the word vocation in that, but there's certainly a lowercase v in that. You know, it's, you know, I want to find fulfillment in my job, but it's not the main priority. It's not the biggest thing for me, where God is glorified the most. But it's important.
Right. And we can go a long time. I think my own life is testament to this. I don't know about yours, but pursuing the general vocation, like I'm trying to be the person Christ wants me to be, trying to live with, and it takes a long time to find what our specific vocation is within that. So we always have a vocation. We're never at a loss for a vocation. Well, be as holy as you can today. Be as close to the Lord as you can. But that you may be 50 when you find your vocation.
Yeah, absolutely. And often I talk to people who have, you consider or call, late in life vocations. You know, they find their vocation later in life. But our vocation to holiness never stops. We never stop growing, or should be pursuing holiness. And so the day we die, we're constantly living out this vocation of holiness.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH. Paul George is our guest, and we're talking finding happiness. We're talking about your personal happiness and finding that when in finding and exploring your vocation. We go now to Anonymous, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Anonymous, your question for Paul George.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Anonymous.
Hi. So I have a question when it comes to kind of discerning the priesthood. I am a recent Catholic convert this past Easter, and I have been kind of closed off to the idea of the priesthood. But recently I kind of had this, a few days ago, I had an experience where I was praying and just kind of like trying to be open to God. And I felt this kind of extreme sense of peace come over me. And it wasn't like I heard any audible voice, but I felt this peace that I, you know, I had to like look into the priesthood. And I don't know how to articulate this best, but I'm trying to figure out, because I have so many other desires, like, you know, vocation wise, like I kind of interested in political science. You know, I think I'd like to get married. I'm trying to like discern, you know, will of God. Was this God, or like, was this the enemy? I mean, I was at really good peace about it, but it's still kind of like hard as time goes on, I guess. I'm sorry. I don't know if that makes, I hope that makes like sense, but.
Yeah, no, it makes sense that you're confused, and that's normal. And you're confused about your name, Anonymous, but that's a joke, by the way.
That's not a very good joke though.
No, not at all. But you've been joking about my name the whole show. So
sorry, Paul George.
It's a really good question. And this is where, first of all, it sounds like you're open to whatever God wants. So that's not the enemy. The enemy is not teasing you into being open. And you certainly are saying, you know, I'll do what God wants. I want to do what God wants. This is where, you know, discernment comes in. What is your desire there? God's calling you, sounds like, to fatherhood. But what type of fatherhood is God calling you to? So that could be in the sacrament of marriage or in the priesthood of the church. Both are great. Both are wonderful. Both are good. And I would even say that you would be happy in both. But what is the specific one that God's calling you to the most, that's closest to your heart and your desire? And so as you're open and you just surrender that to God and you're living in holiness every day, God will show you. Don't overthink it. Don't over discern it. The Lord will show you what that desire is and where it's most fulfilled, whether it's in the sacrament of marriage or in the priesthood.
Anonymous?
Thank you so much.
Well, will you hang with us for just a quick second, Anonymous? Are you afraid of, if that is your vocation, of the things you'll lose?
Yeah, I'm pretty afraid of like losing, you know, marriage or, you know, intimate relationship, yeah. I guess, with the opposite sex. yeah, marriage. I'm afraid of losing that. I can see a lot of like joy potentially coming out of the priesthood, but I also see myself just kind of like the natural skill sets or talents that I've been given being used really well in another field. That's where I feel so confused. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And my point is that people, well, we do think on the discerning side of our vocation, we can often think God is going to take something away from us, and we don't want to lose that thing that God is going to take. But he doesn't take away from us. He brings us to the fullest fulfillment. So I just want to second what the original Paul George just said, and that there's no need to be afraid. Pursue that. It sounds an awful lot like at least an invitation to consider a vocation.
Yeah, absolutely. And in considering your openness, as you place both into God's hands and you surrender, you will find peace and joy in the one God calls you to. God does not call us to a vocation of suffering in a sense of our sacramental vocation, the vocation with a capital B, shouldn't be suffering. It's going to be hard. It's difficult. So I can tell you that about marriage. It's not easy. I have very good priest friends who wake up some days and like, this is really difficult. But there's joy and peace in knowing that they're in the right vocation. So God will bring you that joy and peace as you surrender and he gives back to you, as Cy was saying.
Thank you, Anonymous. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we'll keep you in our prayers. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to know about happiness. Some people do. I've found in my life I've met some people interested in happiness.
It's sort of the desire of our life. And I want to encourage, you know, anybody who's married, who's struggling in their marriage, if they have a question for us, we're open to that as well.
888-318-7884 is that number. Lots of folks watch us on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Periscope now, the other Paul George. And Stephen from YouTube is a Catholic convert and wants to know how to get started in finding his vocation in the church. We have to take a real quick break, but I just wanted to assure Stephen on YouTube, thanks for the question. And when we come back, we'll get the original Paul George to address that question.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Right now, Catholic Answers is conducting its summer campaign. It's a crucial time because we need to offset the drop in donations that occurs every summer. If you're able to give $50 or more, to thank you for your support, we have several gifts we'd like to send you. First, a signed copy of the full 3-CD set, Lepanto, The Battle That Saved the West, so that you can get the full story about this crucial, history-changing intervention of Our Lady of the Rosary. We'll also send you the three latest volumes in our 20 Answers series. They cover apparitions and revelations, witchcraft and the occult, and the church. If you're able to donate $90 or more, we'll also send you Carlo Broussard's CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking, which has a free 38-page downloadable study guide. We'll also send you Stephen Weidenkopf's 2-CD set, The Real Story of the Reformation, just in time for its 500th anniversary. And we'll send you Dr. Edward Sree's new book, Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. Finally, if you're able to donate $180 or more, we'll also send you Trent Horn's 12-part audio interview series, The Apologetics Collection, in which he picks the brains of people like Carl Keating, Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Patrick Madrid, Steve Ray, Devin Rose, and more on a host of the most pressing apologetic issues. Finally, we'll send you a hardback copy of the beautiful, illustration-filled book, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message in the Modern Age, just in time for the celebrations happening now of the famous Fatima apparitions, which took place exactly 100 years ago. Every year, Catholic Answers seeks to win souls for Christ in countless ways, but we can't do this without your help. To learn how you can help Catholic Answers, visit Catholic.com and click the 2017 Summer Campaign banner. That's the 2017 Summer Campaign banner at Catholic.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us this hour on Catholic Answers Live as we discuss finding happiness and finding real, true, lasting happiness that comes with God's peace. Next hour, we're going to be talking about churches and why do we need beautiful churches. We're going to be talking with an expert in American church architecture. It's going to be awesome. We don't talk about beauty enough and about the role of beauty in our lives, and we're going to do that next hour. This hour, Paul George is our guest. Paul, I never mentioned where you are, but you're down in Louisiana.
Yeah, Lafayette, Louisiana.
Right.
I mean, have you ever been down here, Si?
I've been to New Orleans before the hurricane, but I don't think Lafayette.
Okay. So we were voted this is on subject, by the way, but weird. We were voted the happiest town in America.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. And who voted? The people of Lafayette or?
No, there was like this national poll or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're a happiness expert, not just because you are a theologian, trained theologian, and an evangelist, but also because you live in the happiest town in America.
Well, it's because Cajuns drink and eat a lot, and we have plenty of that.
Yes. You got that old Catholic spice of life thing going, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And I bet you probably know Carlo Broussard, huh?
We do know Carlo. Yeah.
He's pretty
great
good.
Guy.
Yep. So we left. We were going to get back to Stephen from YouTube's question. And again, thanks to everybody watching on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Periscope. But he's a new convert and wants to know how he can get started finding his vocation in the church.
Wow. Well, we talked a little bit about this already, Si. Is to begin just a life of prayer. And if you're a new convert, you're like, man, this whole vocational thing, this is kind of new to me. So I would say investigate what vocations are out there. You know, obviously the priesthood, the religious life, marriage, and then be open to them, and then begin to discern. Maybe find a spiritual director or someone that you can talk to that's Catholic that can help you kind of sift through all this new. All the new semantics that are out there for him in the church. So,
and finding spiritual directors—that may be. I know you come from a Catholic part of the country, but for those who are new to the Catholic Church, may not be familiar with that language. But you can ask your pastor about that. Pastors can help you find someone who can do spiritual direction.
You know, one of the best ways to find someone to pray with you as a guy is to say, "I'm interested in the priesthood," and you will find someone at your diocese who'll be like, "I will meet with you."
seems like there might be an element of deception in there if you're not really. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not saying you're not really. I'm just saying.
Oh,
like if
you share that fact about yourself that you might be.
You
oh, I see. Yeah, because that Stephen said he's looking for his vocation. So it may well be that he's thinking about a vocation to religious life.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Paul George, you're back. You're back on. I was going to throw you off the air, but you're back on. Emily in Charlestown, North Carolina. Listening. Wait a second. Do I say Charlestown or Charleston on 7:30?
Charleston.
Yeah. Okay.
Charleston.
Okay. I read it wrong.
That's okay.
Your question for Paul George, Emily.
Okay. So I'm turning 60, very close, and have been proposed to 4 times, and always there was something wrong with the situation. I just felt like that wasn't the direction I needed to go in. I had a daughter. And I raised her as a single parent. Then my parents got sick and took care of them for over 10 years, buried both of them. And it's like I just don't feel like I've ever felt a calling to anything. I'm happy with my life, if you consider happy. But I don't, you know, I pray about it, but I just think I think I've missed the boat. I know that sounds really weird, but I don't know if being as a Catholic, are we supposed to, because my mom was an advocate of Catholic Answers and always received your magazines and everything. And she always told us that when we got older, if we were not married, that we were called to a vocation of helping the poor and to just put our whole life into doing that. And we're obligated to do that with our lives, which I understand. But I don't know how do you know exactly if you've missed the boat? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you know, I see what you're saying when you say miss the boat. It sounds so negative. I think God's been guiding you and has a plan for your life. And so here's a question for you. Are you afraid to be single? Like, is that a fear of you?
No, in fact, I'm very content with it. It's just that my sister has always told me I just never prayed hard enough, and that's why I never got married.
Yeah, and I don't think that's true. So I just want to kind of throw that out. I guess I don't think the harder we pray, like, God's going to bless us. I mean, I think, you know, you sound faithful. You sound like you want to do what God wants. There is a vocation to the single life. The church talks about that. You know, a lot of the saints are single, and you don't have to be a nun to be single or to live in a convent or to be a sister. Maybe God, your vocation is to be a single life, to live in the single life and to serve the world, the church, your community by the life he's given you as a single woman who has faith. And I think I honestly, as a married person, I think it's beautiful when people take on the single vocation and say, this is what God's calling me to, and I'm going to be happy in that vocation. I don't need a person to fulfill my needs. I have Jesus fulfilling them. It's beautiful. So don't be afraid of it.
Okay, I can do that. Thank you very much. And it's so, I just want to just end by just saying, it's so cool that you guys are there because on the radio, because since I've been here about over a year now, I have been so disconnected because I'm from Orange County but I only get 3 radio stations in my car and you guys are one of them. And I've noticed here that there's such a strong Catholic community, which blew me away being in the South, but it's just really refreshing to be able to listen to you guys and listen to the radio every morning and be able to be nurtured. And I want to thank you very much.
Emily, thank you so much for those very, very kind comments.
Absolutely.
God bless you, sister. And we appreciate the call. Call anytime. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Anonymous listening on Holy Family Radio. And can I go to that line?
Yeah, you can go to.
Well, but there's no one on line 3.
Oh, there.
Oh, okay. So we'll go to Laura in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on Ave Maria Radio. You are on with Paul George. Your question, Laura.
Thank you. My husband and I have been together for about 27 years. We have 5 children. He's not Catholic, not baptized. So I am. And the major challenge always in our relationship has been intimacy. He kind of keeps us all at a distance with kind of emotional. It's kind of emotionally abusive, him keeping us all at a distance always. Kind of doesn't let us in. I've tried to be, you know, kind of detached in a healthy way where I still, you know, try to be respectful, make dinners, I love my vocation as wife and mother. It's just a very painful thing that I can't seem to get him to be willing to increase the intimacy in our relationship. And I don't mean, you know, physical. I don't mean that. I mean intimacy in our relationship with me or the children. He's usually uncomfortable with it, I guess.
Yes.
And, okay. I love my vocation as wife and mother, and he's never really appreciated that. He's kind of like more annoyed that there's a need for so much, you know, intimacy.
Laura, thanks so much. And you use the word emotional intimacy. And I think that's you. I'll speak to a lot of the men out there. You know, emotional intimacy, I think, is the thing that men really are afraid of. It's the thing that in marriage challenges men the most. And not to psychoanalyze your husband, Laura, but it sounds like his distance is probably from some hurt and pain in his life. I don't know much about him. I haven't met with him. But he seems like if he's holding people at a distance, he's afraid of intimacy. There's something hurt inside of him. He doesn't want to be hurt again. And obviously you guys have been married a long time and you've tried to love him and you still are. And it's a testament to you and your faith that you're consistently being a good mother and wife to him. Well, one of the scriptures that comes to mind when I'm talking to people who are dealing with an issue like you is the scripture that says, you know, the unbelieving spouse is converted through the believing, the spouse who believes. And this idea that authentic love, this idea of powerful love within a relationship can actually bring conversion in a person's heart. It just may take a long time. And I know that you carry a little bit of suffering in the meantime because he doesn't fully engage intimately with you and the kids, but it doesn't mean that it won't come one day and that you can't keep encouraging him and loving him and pursuing him as a wife and mother. So thank you for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that verse because I've been hanging on that one, among others. But thank you for that. That's encouraging. So.
Yep. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura, so much for that call. Our vocations, because that's a person who has embraced her vocation. That's with heroism, really.
Yes, absolutely.
And so our vocations, they can be demanding. That is to say that you're not saying, oh, your life will be easy if you follow your vocation.
No, not at all. And she even said that she's fulfilled as a wife and mother, but there's difficulties. It's not easy. And this is one of the crosses that she's carrying in hers, but we all have ours. You know, because you're in the vocation that God's called you to, it doesn't mean that it's perfect and easy and you don't experience suffering and hardships. You know, my wife and I have had times where we've really had to grind it out and grow, and we've had to challenge each other, and I've had to deal with my own issues and vice versa. But this is the way, you know, someone told me when I was discerning vocation is which vocation is going to call you to holiness the most? And you and I have talked about our primary vocation is holiness. Well, in our vocation, in our sacramental vocation, I mean, the grind is calling us into holiness. I mean, the every day. And so that's the whole purpose of it.
It is indeed. And let's see if we can get Millie in real quick here before we go. Millie in Richmond, Virginia, watching on YouTube. Hi, Millie. Could you be kind of quick with your question because we're short of time?
Yeah, I was just wondering if – so I'm like young. I mean, I'm still in college, you know. So I was just wondering if you guys have any tips on how to like kind of increase in like patience because I've been – praying a lot. I've been like waiting for God to reveal my vocation, whether it's either sisterhood or marriage. And I just struggle a lot with like knowing what he wants me to do.
Yeah, that's a good question. We use the word patient. And honestly, like, I think that's something that we all struggle with. But for you as a young college student and you're discerning your vocation, I think for all of it, we want the answer when we want it and we want it right now. And I think the reality is as you surrender in your prayers, just saying, Lord, in your time, reveal to me and give me the courage to say yes in that time to whatever vocation is, to marriage or to be a sister or consecrated or whatever it is. And in God's time, he'll reveal it to you. Okay. So honestly, be patient in your prayer.
Millie, thanks so much. And be encouraged from the older folks. You may wait for your vocation, but it is worth the wait when clarity comes. The second hour coming up right after this, Dennis McNamara, an architect and historian of churches in the United States, talks about why we need beautiful churches. Paul George, the original Paul George, thanks for being with us. It was really fun.
Yeah, next time I'll have to come there and we could shoot some hoops.
Oh, no, I'm not going to shoot hoops against Paul George. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.